Mr. Scriven, Reel 6. Right, Mr. Scriven, you were talking about your experiences in Algiers and Tunisia. And off the tip, we were just mentioning the fact that, you know, a year and a half later, obviously there have been a huge number of changes in the battalion. About how many of the original 1940 men do you think were still there?
You couldn't possibly put a figure on, because we had such killed, and some invalided out. It's impossible.
How did you feel as one of the, you know, one of the survivors, you know, one of the men that was still there?
I often wonder why I survived. I really do. Why me? I was glad I did. I know at the end of it all, I'm not bragging about it, really. But I was awfully proud that I'd been with the DLI and survived it. I remember one evening he had a corporal shot his trigger finger off on purpose. Things like that happened, you know. Because he lost his stripe.
When was that?
When? That was in Italy, I believe. No, it was rumoured we were off abroad. That was it. And that's when we did it.
So it was before you left England?
Yeah. Yeah, you had many.
What do people think about things like self-inflicted wounds?
What do you think about
self-inflicted wounds? What was the?
Oh.
What do you think when somebody did that?
Well, in some ways you didn't blame them. In other ways, you went, well, they got more guts than I've got. If they do that, I wouldn't have done it. See, we kept me finger.
And what would happen to the individual after that happened? Would he be posted away or would he stay in the battalion?
Well, he'd be posted away. Or I don't know what happened to him, whether he got chucked out or what. Or did time, you know. Not many did that. Did drastic.
Now, we talked earlier about your time in Greece. Is there anything else about your time in Greece? Your time in Greece. Is there anything else that we haven't talked about?
Yeah.
Anything else that we haven't talked about?
Greece.
You mentioned...
Well, you used to do exercises, isn't that in Greece? We had some battles in Greece, lost a few votes. I always remember Christmas. There was Anthony Eden, Churchill, and one or two came out to see us. And these blokes were laying in their blankets, their beds, you know. It seemed so calm and reasonable, really. They didn't know they were there.
What did you think of Eden? Anthony Eden.
Eden? Striking looking man. Thorough gentleman. All the ladies liked him. Yes, he was. Some say he was a good foreign secretary. Some didn't reckon him at all. example, in the Silpissi or whatever, you know. Well, I like the look of the bloke anyway, it was easy.
Did he try to explain what you were doing in Greece, the battalion?
Yeah, he spoke to us.
What did he say?
You know, it had to be. No doubt we were wondering why we'd been sent there, and we thought the war was over, and it wasn't. That kind of thing. And, what else was it? Gone out of my head now.
Do you think the troops' morale was raised by his visit?
Morale was what?
Do you think your morale of the battalion was raised by the visit?
Oh, I wouldn't like to say.
What was your morale like at this stage in Greece?
Pretty good, because I'll tell you why. When we're off duty at night, we found a, we used to call it a honky-tonk. We used to go there overnight, have a few wines and whatnot. And that's what we got up to there. But apart from that, in the daytime, was our intensive training in England. You know.
What did you think about your move back to Italy?
Not a lot.
Because the war was still going on at this stage.
Yeah, I suppose we wanted to go to Italy. We'd had enough of it. Yeah, oddly enough, of all the places I've been, I like Italy better. I love Italy. But, no more war there. Well, none of us did.
So what happened when you got back to Italy, the battalion?
About a fortnight in intensive training. Back up the line. Bang, bang.
Can you remember the day that the war ended? What you were doing then? What was happening then in the battalion?
Well, it was dark. No lights. Well, in the forest, really. And, We were told, our resistance, that, you know, is everyone cheering away, you know. Then we never came home after that for some time. We are under the occupation in Austria. There's a lovely country too. No one's ever went there, it's lovely Austria. And, then the Austria, we came back to England. Up to Olympia to hand in your equipment. Then back to Earl's Court to hand in your uniform.
So you were demobbed directly from the 16th Battalion?
Yeah.
Can you remember when that was?
Dates are not specific.
But the battalion was still in existence when you left?
Oh, yeah.
Because obviously it was disbanded a little bit later, but it was still going when you...
As far as I know, it was. Yeah.
Can you remember getting your demob suit?
Remember what?
Your demob suit.
Oh yeah, that was another thing. Went to Olympia for a demob suit. See, I'm all trying on suits. Hadn't worn for a few years.
Did you like the suit that you got?
Not a lot. Not even a lot. No.
Why was that?
She didn't like the colour, but it was a long thing. I was ready to jump into anything, really. But she wasn't really that keen on it.
What was wrong with it?
Didn't quite like the cut and, you know, what women are like.
Did you think you had a reasonable choice of these things, of these suits?
Yeah, not bad. I seemed to look at the work anyway. And it was a bright, it was a beige suit, actually. It soon got dirty, didn't it?
What did you feel at that moment when you got this suit and you were out of the army after the best part of 6 years?
I didn't like it. I often wish I was back in the Cape. I did.
Why was that?
And I'm sure lots of other boys did too.
Why?
Yes, all considered, it was bad, but could have been worse for those that was killed.
How did you feel about being a civilian again?
I didn't particularly like it. There was that so-called freedom that you had to do as you like. But you got used to, say, 5 or 6 years of your mates in the army. And that's all you wanted. You didn't want civil street. Well, you think of the army, the way there's no fighting, it's a great life. I don't know if you'd agree, I would. Had I been single, I would have stayed in. I wouldn't have come out. Yeah, I mean, you had all the sport you could possibly want when you were still young. Dancing in the night, do you want me to go? Whatever you wanted, you couldn't.
Now, you were married when you went in the army.
Yeah.
Now, you've talked, when we talked previously, about the fact that you were never keen on promotion. You didn't want to be promoted. So you were still a private soldier. Now, obviously, the money would have been better if you had been promoted.
This is something my eldest son often pointed out to me. Why didn't you, Dad? I just didn't want to. I've never ever sought power of any sort in any way. Ever. Not when I went back to work. In no time I could have had promotion. Partly from the signalling that I knew. Things like that on the underground. I never ever wanted it, honestly.
Can you remember what your wages were in 1945, you know, at the end of your army career?
Yeah.
How much you were getting a week then?
Wonder where I was, you say?
You know, how much you were earning in the army as a private soldier.
Oh, it's pretty low. No.
So what did your wife think about that then?
Well, she was one of the fortunate ones. She had a pretty good job. She was earning more than I was.
What was she doing?
She was in the War Office. Like a secretary to a colonel or major or someone in there. So, we could buy a car and things like that. We'd do it all right.
So you came back to England, you got your DMOB suit, handed in your uniform. Can you describe your arrival back home?
Mm-hmm.
Because obviously you wouldn't have seen your wife for several years.
No, well, I hadn't seen her for about 4 years. And that struck me. When I came home, I banged on the door. Her mum opened the door. Her mum was living with her then. She made a bit of a fuss and he kissed me. But my wife, I was rather astonished. She didn't kiss me or anything. I thought, what a chance you've missed. Anyway, she got around that. We had a good, very good marriage eventually. But, yeah, it's strange. Same as the little boy, the youngest one. He hadn't been used to a man. Because when I told him off, he said to his mum, send that man back to the soldiers, I don't like him. Strange.
And where was Mrs. Scriven living at this time? What part of London? Now, you'd been away from England for the best part of 4 years. How did England and London strike you after 4 years of war coming back? Had it changed from 42?
Well, for a start, we were living in Edgware, which we came from Islington. That was our home. And we got in habits. Every Thursday night, for instance, was Wembley Speedway. We used to love that. And in the summer, cricket, all sorts. It was good in that respect. We used to go to Edgware Town football team. Yeah, it was good. And we could afford to do it.
Did you move back into civilian employment easily? Did you get your, you know, did you get a job quite quickly after being demobbed?
Well, there's a funny thing. I got the job quicker than I thought because I'd written in, being the signaller, my corporal mate in the signals, he got a job on the, what was the name of it? Oh, God. Famous signal depot. Anyway, it doesn't matter really. So I thought, oh, I'll have some of that, I'll try that. And I wrote off, yes, gave an interview, went up and saw him, yes, start when you like. Oh, great. But in the meantime, I got a letter from London Transport. I'd been with them for a little while before the war. And, I wasn't going to go. I said, I've got a job. The wife said, well, please be decent and reply to them, which I did. And of course, to my amazement, when I saw them, I'll come back open arms and more money. I thought, well, I'll be a child and not to do that, which I did. And I was on there until I retired. I was on there 40 years.
Who was your friend, the corporal, that got the job before you? Who was that?
Friend what?
You mentioned your friend who got a job with the...
Yeah.
Who was that? Can you remember his name?
What? Tashy Brown. Brian, we called him. Harry Brian. He died about a year after the war. He had a heart attack on him. Yeah, he used to go around collecting... football calls, knock at doors, all the time, And one night he knocked on his door, the woman came to the door, he said, oh, quick, get me a doctor, quick. He didn't know about it. He died on the step. So that was the end of Tashy. Might have been all the strain of the war.
In what ways do you think the war changed you? I mean, you were quite.
In
what ways do you think the war changed you? You know, your 6 years in the army and your wartime experiences.
Yeah.
Were you different? Did you feel that? How did you feel different in 1946 compared to what you were in 1939? Were you the same man, or do you?
Except that I was that much older, wiser. I still like the army. I had a hankering for the army for a long time. I loved it.
Did you have any anything to do with the reserves after the war then?
No, except that everybody had to. You know.
So there's no formal.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Yes, you. I forget how long you had to be. If they wanted to call me up. But we haven't talked a lot about the war, really, have we?
Is there anything else you want to add? Any other topics we haven't covered?
Like I said, I like to have a good think. And I remember things properly then. Surprising the people I meet that, or their wives tell me, or somebody, I never mentioned the war since I've been home. You know, strange.
Were you able to talk about it to your family?
I used to talk about it sometimes. If I was asked, I never got on about it.